I want to talk today about the Christian, us, in society. I don't know about you, sometimes I feel I'm being torn with the messages in the world, the messages that I see on the billboards coming to and from the building, you know, for our assembly, the messages on TV. It just seems like we're being torn in every direction. The devil is fighting with us for our thoughts, for our activities, for our time. Any way he can distract us from fully serving him, he finds a victory. Ken read two scriptures. Normally we have one scripture. I couldn't pick today, so I just put both of them. Nothing wrong with having two scriptures. Ken read Isaiah 5:20, and I tell you, if this just doesn't describe what's going on today, I don't know what does. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That could have been written yesterday afternoon in the world that we live in today. And the Apostle John would write the words in 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. It lies under the sway of those people that are calling good evil and evil good. In society, they find nothing wrong with going out of a grocery store with a full basket of groceries, bypassing the checkout line. Just walk right out. Walk out with armfuls of stuff out of a store. According to some of our politicians, who are as worthless as you can imagine, but they need to eat. How are they going to eat that big screen TV? Is that filling? Do they use condiments with that? We live in a society that is rampant with drug use. We live in a society that, speaking of the politicians, that are as corrupt as ever. What are we going to do about it? What can we, as an individual person, do? Well, here are some solutions. Some of these solutions I've seen people choose in the world. We could rant and rave about it. We could scream to the top of our lungs about how bad things are. Start pointing fingers. We could riot. That would get a lot of frustration out. I don't have a pitchfork. I don't know if it, does anybody have a pitchfork? If anybody, okay, Jeff, I was going to say, if anybody did, Dick, being from Nebraska, but we don't live in a society that has pitchforks today, other than Jeff.
I'm also from Nebraska.
Can we have the brother to say the closing prayer, and we'll just go on and get... Prove my point. But we could write. We see a lot of people in the world that chooses good for evil, evil for good. That's one of their solutions. Riot. Set fires. Tip over police cars. If we choose to do that, we got Brandon. He can just flick cars over. We could revolt. We could result to violence. Or as they said on Saturday Night Live, result to violins. You know, anybody remember that skit? Anyway, we can't do that. The world says we can do that. The world says that's a solution. We're Christians. Doesn't mean that there's nothing we can do. We can't go that route. Because if we go that route, we're putting ourselves on the same level of the people out there that are calling good evil and evil good. We would be being swayed by the devil. And we don't want that. Some of the things we can do is we can be in the world but not of the world. We have no choice. While we're living and breathing and our heart is beating temporarily in this life, nothing we can do about where we live. We're here. But we don't have to be part of it. We don't have to be part of those people who are advocating evil for good and vice versa. We don't have to blend with the world. Not blending with the world is one of the oldest messages we see in the Bible. That was a message God was telling Moses and the Israelites after they were being led out of Egypt. Don't blend with the nations around you. I'm going to give you a good and promised land flowing with milk and honey. Don't you blend with those people. There's going to be all sorts of people. Why? Because it will rub off on you. You be separate. You don't blend. Don't start looking like them because you'll start acting like them. You'll start thinking like them. You'll start doing the things they do. And by being in the world but not of the world, we can be a positive influence to show people that there is an alternative. That in a community where so many people see and go a certain direction, they may not even know that there is an alternative. We may be the closest thing to God, not that we're God, but we may be the closest thing to God that they see. Our lives might be the closest thing to a Bible they ever see and to come into contact with. That's one thing we can do, is to be in the world, but not mixed and blended with the world. In Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." You're blessed if you don't walk in the counsel of ungodly people, nor stands in the path of sinners. I'm not doing what they do, but I'm standing in their path, and it's going to rub off on you. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. We cannot blend and interact. We can't walk in the gutter and not expect to get dirty. If you want to stay clean, you got to stay out of the gutter. Simple as that. In 1 John 2:15, John says, and it's fairly straightforward, not a lot of wiggle room on this. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. We had a lesson a few weeks ago about the world, that sometimes the world is the physical earth. Sometimes the world is the people that inhabit the earth. Sometimes the world is referred to as the ungodly portion of things. John is saying, don't love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, if we're too connected and we connect ourselves to this life, holding on for dear life to this world, it says the love of the Father is not in him. We've got to look out of different eyes now that we're a Christian and not, you know, I don't know if it's the older I get, the more mature I get, whatever. I'm looking at this world a little bit different. I don't have the ties to this world that I used to. It's not as attractive to me. Sure, God's given us a beautiful place to live while we're here. That kind of world. The world doesn't hold as much for me as it used to. And John explains that in his writings. Romans 12, verse 2. Paul wrote, and do not be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have the choice to be conformed to everything around us, to be like those that call evil good and good evil, or we have a choice to be transformed, to change ourselves. We make that change with God's help through the renewing of our mind. How are you going to renew our mind with not having our nose in the Bible? That's how we can do it. First Peter, the Apostle Peter says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. That's what God wants from us. God is holy. He wants us to be like that. That's why he sent his son to cover our sins with the blood of his son. Not the blood of bulls and goats, but with the blood of his son. For God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In the next chapter, Peter says, beloved, I beg you. That's some strong words right there. I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. He's writing to people that have the attitude, we're only here temporarily. We're just camping out. Our home's going to be our mansion a little bit later. We're just sojourners here. I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. I read this verse and I just think how it comes back on people. We live our life in a godly way and people may condemn us, but nothing will stick because of the way we live our lives. I'm reminded, this verse reminds me of a quote that the old gospel minister Marshall Keeble used to say. He was a wonderful preacher in the 20th century, no longer with us. But he used to say, if somebody accuses you of something, you live your life in a way where your friends wouldn't believe it and they couldn't prove it. And I think of this. It's not going to stick to you. It will come back on them. Matthew 5:16, we've used this so many times, you should by now be able to quote it, okay? And if you're not, you should be close to it. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what we're to do. Not join in with them, rioting, looting, ranting and raving, revolting, but let her light so shine before men. There is a lot of issues that we as Christians disagree with. I'm just going to use one, abortion. There are people in the world right now that not only agree with abortion, campaign for it. They go after it. Everybody needs to, you know, I have the right to kill a baby. Well, I'm against that due to the teachings of the Bible, the teachings of God. But I would rather, and I think it would be more effective, rather than going and participating on a march, an anti-abortion march outside of an abortion clinic, or ranting and raving outside and carrying signs. I'd rather put that effort into preaching the gospel, because if the gospel is effective, it'll take care of abortion. If the gospel is preached and people are converted, it will take care of looting and rioting. If the gospel is preached and received, it will take care of those that call good evil and evil good. I would rather put my energies into that. Never condone it. Never, you know, I'm not going to turn away from a discussion if it's brought up. But rather than marching and shouting and hooting and hollering, I'd rather tell them about Jesus and convert somebody to Christ. And all of those other things will fall into place. Revelation 3:16, John records Jesus is writing to the seven churches of Asia and to the church of the Laodiceans. He writes, so then, because you were lukewarm and neither hot, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. We can't take a passive, bury our head in the sand. I'm not going to start a public argument, but we as Christians can't bury our head in the sand. We have to take a stand, doing it the right way. Because if we don't take a stand, we're like the Laodiceans. And I don't want to be vomited out of the Lord's mouth. In James 1:27, James wrote, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. A lot harder to do than to read, but we are to keep ourselves unspotted, pure in God's eyes. The other thing that we can do is we can be good citizens while we live here, while we are sojourners. We can obey the laws. We're not being good Christians if we break laws. Now, I will say, unless it violates God's law. Hey, you know, doesn't sound right, a preacher telling you to break a law. But if a law violates God's law, break the law. Break the law. A few of us broke the law a few years ago during COVID. Because the government came out and tried to tell us how to worship. Many of you remember that. Preachers in town, every month, many of the preachers get together and have breakfast. Many of them told me, you know what? You guys, we were wrong. You guys got it right. There were congregations that shut down. Shut down because of it. We as Christians need to obey the law. Case closed. Unless it violates God's word. We need to model proper behavior. Showing a sermon is as effective as preaching a sermon. Amen. And we can show that sermon daily. We can use, in this country, we can use our governmental rights to vote. Paul used every chance he got to use his Roman citizenship to be able to preach the gospel. There's nothing wrong with using the rights that we have and are protected in this country. We can vote. Now, I'll tell you, I'm not going to tell you who or what to vote for. The Bible's already done that. But investigate. Investigate those candidates. What they actually stand for. Investigate the party. You do not want, as Christians, to vote for a candidate that is in favor of any of those things that are called good, evil, evil, good. You don't want to vote for a candidate or a party that is in favor of abortion, that pushes abortion. You don't want to vote for a person or a party that promotes all this XYZ, ABC stuff. I don't know the letters. I'm not making fun of it. I can't remember the letters. But they're not letters made up by God. Investigate on your own, because a vote for it, well, I don't believe that, but I'm going to vote for that person. You're condoning it. You're endorsing it. And we as Christians cannot do that. We've got to let our Christian view be heard. 1 Peter 2, Peter says, therefore submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. By doing good, we can shut a lot of people up. Next chapter, And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? That's a great question. By doing good, how many people are going to be against you? There are going to be some, because the dark doesn't like the light, because it exposes them. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. If we're going to get in trouble, let's get in trouble for standing up for God rather than by doing, breaking the law, by stealing, rioting, looting, murder, things like that. 2 Chronicles 26, we see a wonderful account here of people refusing to bow to even the king. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men, and they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priest and the sons of Aaron who are consecrated to burn incense." The King Uzziah, he wanted to go in and burn incense to the Lord. "I'm the king. I want to do it." And Azariah and 80 other valiant men, they went into the temple and they said, "It is not for you, king, to be able to do this." And then they said, "Get out of the sanctuary." That's some bold talk. They're talking to the king. They could have had their heads cut off at that moment. They withstood him to his face and they said, "Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed and you shall have no honor from the Lord. You have no part in here. You're the king out there, but you have no part in here. Get out." We'll be ending up here, Acts 5, verse 27 through 29. The chief priests had told the apostles, "Quit preaching. Quit preaching in this man's name." They even threw him in jail for a while. And when, verse 27, when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you to not teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine." Isn't that encouraging? That these men were able to have the influence, the gospel went everywhere throughout Jerusalem. "You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." These are the same ones that says, "Let this man's blood be on us." Now they're backtracking their story. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Simple response. Everybody has a choice. We ought to obey God rather than men. Be in the world, but not of the world. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you have not been baptized and need to put your Lord on in baptism, we can accommodate you. If you need to repent of sin, if too much of that world has seeped into you and you need to repent and change, do so. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you're looking for a church home, you're looking around and would like to worship with us, let that be known. Whatever your need, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.